And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Joseph, what's going on? How are you?
Doing all right. An extra long pre-show meeting today between the three of us, but I think we got the show all figured out.
Been here since 2 a.m.
All right, I'm not going to do it. I was about to say we nipped it. Okay, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly.
That was yesterday's joke. Although I think that one has staying power.
Oh, I thought you were going to make a joke out of how I literally ran in here in a panic.
I wasn't going to bring that up at all, but now that you mentioned it.
Now that you've done it.
You were like, I need to be work on time. I'm going to nip it in the butt. All right, I had to do it. I'm sorry.
I don't know if you guys can see through the glass, but I'm wearing broken glasses.
Are you? That's awesome.
Oh my gosh, you're right. There's no thing on the
yeah,
one side.
Yeah, I accidentally sat on them the other day and broke them, and I didn't have time to put contacts in this morning.
There we go. Michelle's flying blind over here.
Hey, it's Friday.
That's right.
Thank God.
Oh, man. What a game last night. Game one of the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics down 12 heading into the fourth quarter. I believe the run was 40-16 in the fourth quarter, and they win by 12, 120-108 the final score. Al Horford, the sniper last night, could not miss from three-point land last night. It was unbelievable to watch Al Horford play basketball last night.
2004 Grand Ledge High School graduate and legend Al Horford. My goodness. I don't know that I've seen a shooting display like the Celtics had at the beginning of the fourth. They hit six in a row, like yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Pretty stunning. And I don't know what to think of it. Moving forward, you could look at it both ways. Like, I mean, Horford and Derek White, though, has been, I mean, he's dangerous. Like, you can't let him shoot. But Smart, White, and Horford, I think, are 15-23 from three. I will confidently say that won't happen again. I also will say that Jason Tatum will have better scoring games than that. I think the Warriors did a good job on him, and they collapsed on him. But that means you help off shooters. And, yeah. My God, did the Celtics make a pay. I mean, Horford with that ugly shot, that wide-footed, two-handed, but man, it was going down for him last night.
They don't ask how. They just ask how many.
That's right. And Steph was, you know, I thought Steph was on his way to 40-plus, and the Celtics, got to give him credit, I think more than like, this is all it's going to be today. I heard it on,
Keyshawn,
Jay Will, it's going to be all day. It's going to be Steph isn't clutch, you know, and I just – look, the Celtics did a great job against him. And really, the first quarter, it was like, hey, let's go under on some screens because, you know, it's just Steph Curry.
He won't make
threes. So he destroyed them because he's getting wide open looks off ball screens. And then they actually did a pretty good job on him most of the rest of the game. Hey, man, like you've got to – the biggest problem for the Warriors, like Jordan Poole can't suck like that. Jordan Poole was terrible last night.
Not good.
Turning it over – defensively, he gets cooked a lot anyway, but like he was like minus 19 last night. I mean, you got to have – and Draymond wasn't very good, you know. Like he can't miss free throws when it's still a game. I think it's – like Draymond after the game was like, yeah, we'll be fine. Dominated the first 41, 42 minutes. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what to think. I think it's going to be a great series. That's a huge win for Boston.
Well, my I feel better about Celtics in seven after they got game one because if Golden State rolls through – both games at home, which, by the way, is just what they've done in the playoffs. They're 9-0 at home heading into that game last night. You know, at some point, it's difficult for Boston. I mean, is Boston going to win every single one of their home games? Maybe, but most teams
can't
do that.
Well, if they do now, then it won't be Celtics in seven.
It won't be Celtics in seven. That is for sure. But I agree. Like, the Celtics shot extremely well last night. And I'll say this, and I said this about the Lightning the other day, too. Sometimes I think there's too much time off. Like sometimes I think that can do more harm than good when you've got more time off. You know, Celtics had 3 days off, so it's not like they're just totally rusty out there. So I buy into that a little bit. But to your point, I mean, they were up by 12 heading into the fourth quarter, and Boston just got totally in fuego shooting the ball from three and 40 points in a quarter. You picked a good quarter for that to happen if you're the Celtics.
Yeah, I actually Magic Johnson said at halftime. You know, that's the thing. Like you think about a team being tired because they've been playing, but when a team hasn't played in a game in a long time, a lot of times that hits them in the first game too. But The bottom line is Warriors did what they usually do in the third quarter, which is dominate.
Yep.
And, man, did it fall apart. So they got to go back to the drawing board. I mean, Jaylen Brown is a problem, and he is a problem. He gets people shots. He's got that little step back mid-range that's just about a layup for him. They're a great team. I mean, this is either one of these teams winning it, you know, legit champion. And I think we're gonna get a great series here.
Ryan from Chicago on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michelle Knezovic at the buzzer in all capital letters. That's coming from Ryan from Chicago.
Nice.
Kelton on the text line says, the old saying, live by the three, die by the three.
Is it Ryan's fault?
I don't know.
Should we blame Ryan?
No,
were you guys like staying up late talking about great White Sox players of the 90s or something? Like, what do we have going on here?
No, it's your fault, Joe, because I was staying up to watch the Celtics beat your Warriors.
Documentary on Ozzie Guillen.
Greg Luzinski, great athletes of the 80s.
A.J. Pierzynski punching people behind the plate.
I tried to block A.J. Pierzynski out of my mind. My guy, he's top five all-time hated athletes. Thanks for bringing him up. I bet you Ryan from Chicago loves A.J. Pierzynski.
Who doesn't? Give me some A.J. Pierzynski all day long. I don't know how we got on the subject of that 5 minutes in the show today.
Such a punchable face.
The Golden State's going to win game two, right? Like, I totally expect them to respond and play really well and probably win by double digits in game two.
Yeah, we'll see. That's the plan, I'm sure. They had really good stretches. It's interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see what kind of adjustments they do. Because the thing is, it's like the Celtics shot so well. Oh, they were red hot. But also, how many of those shots were wide open? Because because the Warriors were in rotation, and they're just – some of it is, I think, the plan is to collapse on Tatum for sure. And they did a good job. But they got to change something. You can't give those guys clean looks like that.
You better guard Al Horford. That's what we learned in game one. Well, you better put a body on Al Horford.
And that's – look, and that's – I mean, Draymond was – serious help mode on Brown and Tatum when they go in the lane, which makes sense, and that's the plan, but they may have to adjust that because, I mean, you can't let that dude. 26 points, big Al Horford. My goodness.
I think today's his birthday.
And it's his first NBA Finals game. You know, great career, but first NBA Finals game.
He's
took advantage.
He's been waiting to this for a long time. Took advantage of it last night, no question about it. Game two between the Avs and the Oilers last night and Colorado. Dominant last night. They went 4-0. There was a play that was made early in the game where McDavid is coming down one-on-one against Makar, and he's full bore coming through the neutral zone, and Makar hangs with him, skating backwards, and poke checks it away at the last second. And I was just like, that is incredible. Like, I've never seen anybody hang with McDavid like that, the way that he did on that play. And I was just like, oh, boy.
High-level stuff,
that
man.
That was kind of like an illustration of what was about to happen in that game in Colorado. And they're just all over. I mean, you had your backup goalie in last night. Pavel Francouz, you get a shutout. Feeling pretty good if you're Colorado heading into Game 3 in Edmonton.
Yeah. The Edmonton, you know, fire wagon express just got slowed down. So I want it to be a good series. That looked probably a lot more like a game you – like if someone told you go in the playoffs, Edmonton and Colorado are going to play, you'd think it'd be more like that.
Yep. Well,
not a shutout necessarily, but a convincing win. So I hope Edmonton gets – you know, I really do. I hope we get a good series. I hope we have some more high-scoring games because game one was fun. But that was a little bit of a glimpse of what Edmonton's up against.
Yeah, and, you know, when McDavid and Draisaitl – when they can't get anything going offensively, I mean, the team just – they don't have anything else. Like, it's – they have good players. And I know Evander Kane's been really good in the playoffs.
Yep.
A lot of the reason Evander Kane's been really good in the playoffs is because he's played with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. So that usually helps when you're playing with those two guys. But when you're able to kind of suffocate those guys a little bit, it's just so hard for that team to generate offense. And, by the way, you know, Kadri last night, 3 primary assists. Dude's pretty good. And he's – free agent.
Uh-huh.
Just saying.
Well, we're about to talk about a mailbag I did this week, and I threw his name out as what Preds should do.
He's going to get paid.
Preds should do
money.
That. Yeah, he's gonna get paid. But hey, Preds have all kinds of cap space.
They do.
Maybe a lot more cap space. Who knows?
We'll see what happens on that front. Game two coming up tonight between the Lightning and the New York Rangers. statement by the Rangers in game one. If track record, recent track record is any indication, I expect a pretty good response by Tampa Bay tonight. You don't see Andre Vasilevsky in the playoffs play poorly two games in a row. My guess is Tampa Bay is probably going to win tonight, would be my guess.
Yeah.
They don't lose two games in a row.
That'd be my guess, too. It'd be huge if the Rangers can somehow take a 2-0 lead. I think Vasilevsky needs more help. He didn't get the usual help that he's used to in game one. So, his teammates hung him out to dry a little bit a couple times too. So you're not used to seeing that.
No. So I would expect a better response from Tampa Bay tonight. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll dive into Joe Rex Road's mailbag a little bit on the Athletic, including maybe some options the Predators could have as they move forward, even if Philip Forsberg doesn't work out. We'll get to that coming up on the other side, 615-737-1025. The NBA Finals are here, and so is your chance to score big on FanDuel Sportsbook. Throughout the NBA Finals, FanDuel is giving new customers $200 in free bets, guaranteed when you place your first bet of $5. You can bet the money line, point spreads, player props, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. Statement win by the Celtics in Game 1. I think the Warriors respond in Game 2. Klay Thompson over on points in Game 2 as well. But take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up with promo code ROB. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now's the perfect time to give it a shot, because the only thing sweeter than watching the finals is cashing in on all the action. So join today with promo code ROB and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets. Win or lose, you can make every game feel like Game 7 with FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Yeah. You're an NCOB guy. All right, yeah. Good to know.
Well, yeah. I would say I wouldn't go that far, but I'm a... Comparatively speaking to other things, yeah, sure.
Tolerable.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, get a mailbag at theathletic.com, where you cover a wide variety of things, because with a man as blessed with knowledge as you are, there's many things that you can cover. So we've known that about you for a long time here on this program. But you had an interesting exchange with some Predators fans about the strategy as the Predators move forward here.
Expert on everything, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, well... I wanted to bring this up because I thought this was a really good comment on the mailbag, gets into Tennessee baseball and Titans and Treylon Burks and all this stuff. But a lot of Preds questions. I will say, usually it kind of goes with time of year, So you put up a thing like, hey, everybody, ask something in the mailbag, and there are actually, a lot of Preds questions. And, that's the thing is, I'm not going to, you guys do whatever you want. I'd probably ask Adam Vingan instead of me, because he knows more than me. But hey, I will gladly act like I'm an expert for you on the mailbag. But Jennifer T, because subscribers always they put their first name and last initial. So I wanted to read Jennifer T's response to my response, which is essentially what we've been saying, which is just the total scorched earth tanking model to me is. I don't like that strategy. I just think, beyond just what we're talking about with the Preds and the business model, which I think it's already kind of a non-starter. But even beyond that, I think that can really lead you into a lot of wilderness. And I think there's a more reasoned approach to actual still rebuilding. But this is Jennifer T, and I really thought this was interesting, so I wanted to get your opinion on it.
Okay.
It's kind of long, but I'll read it fast. Okay, my one rebuttal to your view on tanking is I would be comfortable with 3 to 5 years of going for the number one pick, because at worst you'd have 3 to 5 years of very high draft picks. In the 2 years since the Preds actually became a perennial playoff team, they have drafted inside the lottery twice. Seth Jones at 4, Kevin Fiala 11, both those players at their peaks or top-of-the-lineup caliber players, Jones being elite for a couple seasons. 3 to 5 years of top-of-the-lineup caliber players is worth it, even if you don't get the McDavid or Crosby. You may even end up with a Barkov or a McCarr along the way. So I don't buy the negative side of rebuilding, because you have a franchise that historically put together a perennial playoff team and has a young goaltender that's the hardest position to fill with elite play. Saros will still be in his prime 5 years from now. They'd be out from under Johansson and basically Duchesne. And then Forsberg and Yossi would be in the downside, but probably still effective. So we're talking, I guess, 5 years from now. Then they'd have the cap space, sign players, potential trade pieces with serious value. People always say, look at Buffalo, look at Arizona, look at Detroit. Buffalo's been one of the most poorly run organizations for some time. We could agree with this. Same with Arizona, yes. Detroit is right there, waking to break out. Sider and Raymond are borderline superstars. Yeah, they're getting better. Okay, finally. Yes, that's true. Back to Jennifer. I'd also point out the Rangers, successfully rebuilt, been aggressive at the right times. Look at Colorado, Mac and McCarr, but they also found Rantanen, Landeskog, Taves, Nishuse, Kadri. I mean, yeah. It's what you get for drafting continuously high for multiple players. Pittsburgh dive here's got Crosby. It wasn't Crosby alone. They drafted Malkin, Fleury high, drafted Letang. So, basically, I'm not going to read. Like I said, it's a long point. I think she makes some good points. Lastly, if you don't want to tank and you're insistent on building through free agency, then use the offer sheet. At least that way you know you're getting what you're getting for your crappy draft picks, and you're overspending on players who can actually live up to the money instead of overpaying for players at the end of their primes. End quote. But I thought the point there that I thought was interesting, and it's worth it's worth discussing to me, is just the idea of, okay, it's not like you're just trying to find that one savior. In that time period, you can load up if you, make the right choices. If you're high, if you're at the high end of the draft for multiple years. Now, I still argue, but they don't have the stomach for it. They're not going to do that. And what's it look like here if you have 5 years of bad hockey while you're doing that? And I'm not sure about that. I'd like to get your thoughts on, the idea of, Saros still could be good at the end of something like this. For Yossi, you're talking about Yossi at 36. I don't know, man. I have a tough time with that one. Well, but I think there are some good points there. And it's not – everything doesn't have to be Buffalo. Everything doesn't have to be the worst-case scenario.
Well, I think – we talked about this the other day. I think the Rangers are a good example that if you do it correctly, that you could get out of it pretty quickly. Now, there's a lot of things that have to happen. And I would also say this. Yes, the Rangers have rebuilt – but they also signed Artemi Panarin to a monster contract in the middle of all that.
Yep.
And that kind of expedited that a little bit as well. So, you could do that if you're the Predators, and you could be aggressive in free agency at some point in your rebuild, but it's not exactly the same formula that a lot of teams go through with their rebuild that the Rangers have done either. And quite frankly, the Rangers are like the Predators from this respect. They've gone from Henrik Lundqvist to Igor Shesterkin, and it's not missed a beat. So not every team can do that either. Now, the Predators have done that.
There's the comparison. Yeah,
there's the comparison. You've gone from Pekka, and you have Saros, and you got Askarov. It's now in Milwaukee, and I don't know what he's going to be, but people way smarter than me looking at prospects say he's pretty darn good.
Could be quite an asset for you.
So, goaltending-wise, I think you're feeling good as you move forward here, whether that's with Saros now for the next 5 years or eventually with Askarov coming up as well. I hear what Jennifer's saying there because, I'm thinking back through the teams that have been quote-unquote dynasties. And, Pittsburgh's kind of different because it was basically two different teams, but that's neither here nor there. Crosby and Malkin and Letang were basically the three. People say Fleury. Fleury won – he was a starting goalie for one cup.
Yeah.
So – I understand it. He was there for it. He was a starting goalie for one cup. Chicago had Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews back-to-back. So it was a multi-year process of that. Duncan Keith came in. There's a lot that went along with it. So I totally understand. Even the Lightning to a degree. Stamkos was a long time ago, and then Hedman comes in after that. But it was, multiple high draft picks there. Now, they've built theirs a little bit differently. They drafted a goalie in the first round. Worked out pretty well. Went Andre Vasilevsky. Kucherov, I think, was a third rounder. Braden Point was a third rounder.
Kucherov was second rounder, wasn't he? I think
he was third.
He a third rounder?
I think the Predators drafted Mika Salamaki while Nikita Kucherov's still on the board. Now, a lot of teams did that. But, a lot of teams missed on Kucherov, so it is what it is, right. But so I'm just saying there's different ways to go about doing it. But to that point, there is something that you could find there if you're bad for 3 to 5 years. Now, I would also say this. The New Jersey Devils have been bad for a long time, and they've drafted Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes. And I think both of those guys are good. Neither one of those guys are transformational players to me. And right now, I don't think they're much closer to getting out of it than they were when they started.
Still so pretty bad.
It doesn't necessarily mean if you're bad for 3 to 5 years that you're just all of a sudden going to figure it out. And I know I buy into the Buffalo argument to a certain degree that they're just poorly run because they've been awful for basically 15 years at this point. So I put more stock into Buffalo just not being able to figure anything out. I mean, they did get Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel's pretty darn good, and they still couldn't figure it out. So to me, that probably says more about Buffalo. I don't know that I buy that New Jersey is poorly run. I just think that they've not timed it up really well with some of their draft picks, and I don't think the guys that they've selected are transformational-type players, which has been my point all along. Not only do you have to be bad if you're going to do this, you have to be bad at the right time, and it's very difficult to know when that right time is. Now, sometimes you do know. Like, they'll never come out and admit this, but Edmonton and Buffalo were awful the year that Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel were coming out. And Buffalo, they'll never admit this, but I'm sure when that draft lottery came and they didn't get the first pick, they were probably kicking a hole in the wall because they didn't get Connor McDavid. But you knew that Connor McDavid was going to be what he is. Like, I've been hearing about Connor McDavid since he was 13 years old.
Right.
So sometimes you do know, but it's very rare that that's the case.
Yeah, and look, it's whatever you do. I mean, even when you go through these teams, as Jennifer pointed out, some great points. But it's you got to hit and hit and hit, right? I mean, you got to make the right choices. You can go through lots of drafts and find, like you said. I mean, if you want to rip people for missing Kucherov, everybody did. You know, I mean, if Malik Willis,
Pavel Datsyuk was a 7th round pick,
yeah, yeah. I mean, you know. For the Preds, you know, Arvidsson, 4th-round pick. It's not like when it's all said and done, he's going to be remembered as like some superstar in the league, but he was an awfully good player, you know, for a few years.
6th-round pick for Datsyuk.
Was that right?
Okay. Yeah, not 7th.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's about making the right choices. I mean, I guess the question is, you know, it's the problem with some of these teams that have kind of done more of the keep it together, stay competitive, change out a lot of stuff. Is again, like, the cores are better than this core, you know, and that's the dilemma. But I just, you know, I think you can make another big move with someone if it's possible. I mean, you could look at doing that, moving Johansson, moving to Duchesne, something, and still not completely plummet. I guess, you know, that's the question though. Are you going to be good enough? If you're still drafting in the middle of the draft year after year after year.
Now, I don't think I'm as far on the don't do this as you are scale. Like, I've said this. Like, I don't think this core is good enough to win a cup. I don't. So, where does that leave you?
Do you think you can build around it well enough to win a cup?
See, that's
– like, make the core – like, increase the core, add to the core to what would be a core.
Yeah. But, it would take a lot of things going right. Like, I don't think that you're going to be able to get your superstar players. Let me put it that way. So, if you don't have superstars, you know, Riosi's a superstar. I understand that. Saros is a superstar. But without having the superstar-level forwards. Like, I think the Colorado series was a pretty good reminder. Like, as good as Philip Forsberg is, and as good as Matt Duchesne is, and they were really good all season, I think they're going to be good as they move forward here. Neither one of those guys are Nathan MacKinnon. Neither one of those guys are Connor McDavid, obviously. So can you win on a consistent basis? Can you push forward in the playoffs without having those guys? Like, how good do you have to make the core around it to overcompensate for not having those guys? I don't know. Sometimes you can do it. We've seen them do it and get to the final before. We've seen St. Louis, who I think is kind of in a similar situation. They don't have that guy. We've seen them win a Stanley Cup doing it. So I'm not saying you can't do it. I just think it's way harder to do that way.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It would have to be – you'd have to be another St. Louis.
Yeah.
Difference being they had a goalie who just went nuts that year, where you have a goalie who I think is good enough, you know, to do that in a given year, in this year or that year. What if your core was the same but with Johnny Gaudreau?
We'll get to that on the other side. Take your thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Discussing the Predators, taking your thoughts on the text line. I was just going through the 2011 NHL draft. Preds took Magnus Hellberg at number 38 overall. Mika Salamaki at 52 overall, and Nikita Kucherov went 58 to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's a toughie.
That's a toughie.
Yep. But that Mika Salamaki, you know, we never talk about him when we talk about all the random role players in 17. Salamaki was
– Laviolette loved him.
Oh, man. Well, I remember, like, that guy. The next year, it was like, no, one guy you know will not be scratched is Mika Salamaki.
That's right.
He's going to be in that lineup.
I love that guy.
Skating around. I mean, that guy, hey, that guy could skate now.
By the way, Tampa Bay also drafted Andre Palat, 208 overall that year. And he's been there for a long time. Won two cups, maybe three now coming his way. That's how you get good. Got to hit on some draft picks.
You got to make good choices. Whatever your strategy is, you're going to have choices, and you have to make good ones.
Have to make good
Profound.
Ones. Yes.
Profound words for me.
Thank you very much.
So every day is a day.
So you threw out a question to me. Is this core, could you build around the core if you're the Predators and get it to where it's good enough to win a Stanley Cup? I mean, you look at the foundational pieces that they have, and this is why I think it's so hard beyond just the business side, which I think is maybe the number one driving force behind all this and how the Predators really don't have any interest in that. The other reason why I think it's so hard to do this is Yossi's 31 right now, in the prime of his career. He just had the best season a defenseman's had offensively in 30 years in the league. You have a Saros that's 27, just now kind of entering into the prime of his career. And those are two pieces that it's very difficult to find guys like that. Like Yossi, Roman Yossi doesn't just grow on trees. Like when he's gone, I don't think this is a stretch to say, when he's gone, it's probably going to be a while before the Predators find a defenseman quite like Roman Yossi. Maybe they may never find a defenseman quite like Roman Yossi. So, like, that's what, in addition to just the business side of this, you have players at foundational positions that are elite. Like, Saros, I think, is an elite goaltender. Yossi is obviously an elite defenseman. Now, then that gets into the question of, all right, well, can you really win a Stanley Cup building your team around an elite defenseman and an elite goalie? Like, can you do it without the elite forward? That's the thing. That's the other thing with Tampa. Like, they have the elite goalie, and they have the elite defenseman, and they have a couple of elite forwards. So, can you do it that way if you're the Predators without the elite of the elite at forward? That's the question that you've got to ask yourself.
Yeah, you got the which also reminds me of something I read as part of this was, you know, Shayna Goldman's thing. Have you seen that? The Shayna Goldman, the checklist for team. Yeah. So, real quick. With the Preds. Elite first-line center among the very best players in the world? No. Elite first-line winger to support the elite center? Now,
Forsberg and Duchesne this year, you could say yes to that.
Two other top-line wingers on each of the top two lines. I mean, you can't – if you're going to take one of them for that, then you can have one of the other one, but you don't have two.
Right? I would say the answer to that is no.
It's at best it's one of two. Top line center to play behind the elite center. Now, I would say that like Johansson and Granlund would qualify for that. They just don't have the elite among the best, very best players in the world.
Right.
Two more top six forward for depth in the middle six. Now, with that, I mean, I think you can say Jeannot would probably, if we're talking middle six, was Tomasino going to be there? Like
middle six, yes. Top six, they don't have two more guys.
Right, for sure. No, I mean, I'm saying if you're calling it the middle six, like top six level forward for depth in the middle six, I think Jeannot could be that. I mean, those guys both could be at right now. You think you're right? No. Elite number one defenseman? Yes. A second number one defenseman to play behind him? Yes. Top pairing defenseman to help anchor a strong second pair with the number two? I think at this point that's a no, and that's where like it could develop, but maybe you need to acquire someone. Another top pairing caliber defender to crush soft minutes on the third pair. Say no on that one. And then a top 10 caliber starting goalie. Yes. So if you're looking at them favorably through all this, the Preds would be at best 6 of 10 on this list. Now, is every single team that makes a run or is even close or considered one of the contenders, they hit all 10 of these? Probably not. But
although
I bet you
the Lightning.
The Lightning, yeah, they would be one that probably hit everything. Yeah. Does Colorado hit everything? I mean,
they don't hit the goalie.
They don't have a top 10 goalie, you know. So, but if you need to be at least around 8, right?
Yeah.
You need to be, and let's, yeah. This is the very first one. That's the hard part. Is like, how do you get to that? An elite first line center among the very best players in the world. Like,
they've never had that.
Yeah, you know. So, but if you can strengthen, especially just the forward group around it, we've talked about that constantly. If you do that, and you strengthen your defense, top four, you know, then you'd be closer. Is that good enough? We keep coming back to that question. So. It's again, it's like Yossi. I mean, to me, it's like, well, either you believe that he's the center of it all to me, among skaters, of course, and you believe that you can go out and add and be good enough and really make runs, or, I mean, if you're going to do this, well, then Yossi, you could also talk to him about where he'd like to play.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's...
Well, that's the thing. Like, everybody talks about, you know, getting some assets back and trading guys to if you wanted to go down the rebuild path, like doing it that way. Well, who's that going to be? Like, right now I can't operate under the assumption it's going to be Forsberg because he doesn't have a contract. So you can't trade Forsberg away and get anything until he signs a contract. And my guess is if he signs a contract, you're not going to want to trade him right after that. So is Duchesne, like, you getting a ton back for Duchesne at this point? I don't think so. Like, I know he had a great season. He's also about to be 32, and he's getting paid $8 million a year. Like, I don't think you're getting a ton back for Johansson. Ekholm, maybe. I mean, Yossi would be the guy where you'd get a ton back for him, and he's got a full no-movement clause. So, I mean, you could approach him if you ended up deciding to go down that road. But
well, that's the thing. If you decide to go down that road, even whether you trade him or not, he doesn't want to go down that road.
No.
So, yeah, it's a dilemma. I mean, that's where they are. It's just it's hard to, you know. I think we know what they're going to try to do. So, like, we can talk about all this stuff, but I just don't believe it's. I just don't believe that.
I don't even think it's in there.
Yeah, I think it's a non-starter. Right now. I just thought it was. You know, I think Jennifer made an interesting point for sure.
I agree.
But it's not the way they're going to go. So, you know, who can they add? Kadri, Gaudreau. Like big ads. I mean, they're going to add some guys. Klingberg.
I don't know. That's the thing you got to wonder. Like, you spent a lot of money on defensemen when you had Ellis, Yossi, Ekholm, and Subban all together, and it worked. I mean, you got to the Cup final. Now, is that the way teams traditionally build themselves to get there? No, it's not. Is that the way that you should try to build it? I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know that I'd go Klingberg. I don't think he's – I mean, he's good. He's not, to me, worth the money he's going to get.
He's probably going to get overpaid.
He's going to get overpaid. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joel in Whitehouse texting in says, I'd just be curious how many draft picks, maybe in the first or even second round in the last 10 years, are still contributing on this team today. That's a huge problem for this team because Poile has not drafted well over the years. I mean, you can go – I mean, let's just think about it. Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, Granlund, which were your top four forwards this year, were all not drafted by the Nashville Predators. Yossi and Ekholm were. So Yossi was a second-round pick. Ekholm, I can't remember what he was, third or fourth round maybe. Tomasino's first-round pick, but he's young. I mean, you can go down the list.
Tolvanen's
first-round pick.
I mean, he's there.
He's there. But to your point, like, you drafted Fiala in the first round. He's gone. Favreau's first round pick on your back end there. So, I mean, they've got some guys, but probably not enough when you really get down on the list. Like,
you know, really. Trennan.
Yeah. And your top four forwards. I mean, good on you for acquiring them, so you've got them. But none of those guys were drafted by the Predators.
You got Colton Sissons, 2012, second round. Yeah. Right, and 13 picks after Pontus Aberg.
Yeah, buddy.
Who was, I think, Pontus Aberg at that point. Ah, and then there's that third round pick, Jimmy Vesey. Oh boy. Good times when you look through these drafts. Saros, fourth rounder in 2013. That's not bad.
Not bad.
Well, again, I mean, their defenseman and goalie evaluations have been awfully good. And then you get your Arvidsson, fourth round in 14. You know, you get your Carrier, fourth round in 15 with Trennan that year as your second rounder. I mean, it's not a dead zone, but with each draft, of course, you're not reading a bunch of names because they haven't done much. Where is Grant Mismatch, by the way? You know, it's another, like, all-name. Yeah, it's just an all-name. I mean, they could have an incredible.
Really?
I mean, when Gunnar Wolffontaine stars here, it's going to be amazing.
Really, probably the missing piece to a cup run is Gunnar Wolffontaine.
Yeah.
Just eventually showing up.
I mean, Gunnar Wolf has got to get here. You know, Luke Evangelista, 2020, second round.
Yep.
It's going to be some time, and we'll see. But this year was some indications that he could be pretty dynamic at some point. But in the short term, it's players like Tolvanen, Tomasino, Fabbro who have to become plus players, yep. Like top line players. And right now, I think Tomasino could get there, but the other two right now, it's just where's it going?
I have serious doubts about it. I'd put it that way. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. It is NCAA baseball tourney opening day. Who's excited about it? What do we think of the matchups for Tennessee and Vanderbilt? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Konezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see the Rackley Roofing 200, NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race coming up on June 24th, and the Tennessee Lottery 250 Xfinity Series race on June 25th, both at the Nashville Super Speedway. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to the Rackley Roofing 200 and the Tennessee Lottery 250 coming up on June 24th and June 25th at the Nashville Super Speedway. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, it is opening day in the NCAA baseball tournament. Tennessee hosting the Knoxville Regional. Vanderbilt out in Corvallis at Oregon State. Let's start with the Vanderbilts. Actually, you know what? Let's start with the Tennessee side of this. What do you make of the matchup for Tennessee? They're going to be taking on, I believe, Alabama State in the first game. This is really a regional that I expect Tennessee to just blow through. That, you know, it is postseason play.
Yeah, from
Wright State. We know that things can happen in postseason play, but I would expect there'd be a lot of home runs hit. As we talked about the other day, a lot of really good home run hitting teams in this regional, Alabama State aside in this conversation, at that ballpark at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Ball could be flying out of the yard a little bit, and if you're a Tennessee fan, you're hoping that that's mostly coming off the bats of Tennessee players this week.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great for Tennessee, but you know, you just don't know until you get into it. I mean, Alabama State is a team that Tennessee should handle today. Blade Tidwell on the mound for the Vols, which is interesting. I mean, it's, you know, interesting. It looks like it's going to be Blade Tidwell. And then their best pitcher, who I think could be a number one pick next year, I think next in 23, I think, is Dolander, Chase Dolander.
Yeah.
He will be – so – presumably he would then take on Georgia Tech, you know, in the Saturday second game in the winner's bracket. But you know, first of all, Campbell is red hot, and you know, the fighting camels, you just can't, you can't just forget about the fighting camels.
You ready for an early call? Your shot Friday.
Sure.
Which, by the way, is taking place at 8:30 today. They're beating Georgia Tech.
Okay. You got the fighting camels.
I got the fighting camels.
The fighting camels beating Georgia Tech. Okay. You know, Georgia Tech, one of the best home run hitting. I think they're eighth in the country. Tennessee, of course, first, because Tennessee's first in, like, everything, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Tennessee has a team ERA of 2.37. It's almost a full – I mean, it's you know, almost a full run better than Southern Miss at number two. It's by the way. And then, you know, also nation best home runs. But all this stuff gets thrown out. It does. It gets thrown out, and it's a different deal. You just, you know, if you're a Tennessee fan, you just want them to just not have to do like they did last year in the first game where it was like, oh, my gosh, you're going to lose Wright State. And then Drew Gilbert just pulls one out of the fire. Yeah. So, I mean, I would agree with you. I would expect Tennessee to handle this regional, and crazier things than them not having an easy time have happened, of course.
It's interesting. The secondary market right now for tickets at the Knoxville Regional, the Knoxville News Sentinel came out with a story on this yesterday. The cheapest ticket that you could find as of yesterday was $117 for standing room only.
My goodness.
$117 to stand there and watch.
I went to a few Detroit Tigers postseason games around 06, 07 and paid $100 for standing room. So that's Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Like one of them was ALCS against the Rangers, which I guess that would have been 08 or 09, whatever. Like $100.
Yeah.
So it's more than that for college baseball regional, you know, which should be kind of a, yeah, you know, I mean, this is basically like a 116 game in hoops.
Yeah.
You know, $117 is the lowest.
Yeah, Knoxville.
That gives you a little glimpse of how into this team Tennessee fans are.
The Knoxville News Sentinel says a premium Tennessee baseball experience for two in the MVP section, which is apparently behind home plate, will cost over $1,000 on Vivid Seats at $506 apiece, the most expensive. So if you're getting behind the plate, apparently on the secondary market, it's $506 apiece.
My goodness. I mean, it's awesome. It's like this is one of those things where, because, well, I've been going down memory lane a little bit this week, even with like some Vanderbilt players, and you think about they had to bring in like the – before they had built up – they had to bring in like the temporary stands, you know, back in – 07 for that David Price team. And this is one of those things where, like, if you could juice up the few thousand seats in Lindsey Nelson right now, you'd love to. But then what's the sweet spot, you know, for what capacity should be moving forward? I don't know. But if that team gets to Omaha, I fully believe it'll be outrageously orange out there.
Well, the max capacity at Lindsey Nelson right now is 4,045. So it's 4,045. His max capacity. Today, like, what could they get in there today, realistically, do you think? I don't know what the answer is. Could they double it?
Really?
Like, could if you had enough seats and tickets weren't ungodly expensive?
I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying what will they actually have.
No.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, boy, that's a fire hazard.
Yeah.
What could the – no, I think, honestly – no, I think that if they had good seats, if they had a stadium that could hold it, I think they could fill like a Thompson Bowling type situation, yeah. Something like that. I think 15. I think so.
Yeah.
And look, again, I've looked, you know, because I'm kind of planning ahead in case either of these teams makes it to Omaha. So I've been looking at hotel prices in Omaha, and I've done this before. It's insane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this Tennessee? Like, is this like Vol Twitter buying up all the hotel rooms and blocks right now?
Could be.
But don't jinx yourself, though. You know, don't want to jinx it. But I don't know. But yeah, it's going to be a wild scene there. And then you got Vanderbilt, who's, you know, had a lot of. I mean, the last two times they've been in a regional on the road, they've won it 17 and 18. So they've been better on the road and. Big, big game against San Diego today for Vanderbilt.
Yep.
You got a really good offense. I actually talked to Tim Corbin last night for a story I'm doing. He wouldn't tell me who his starting pitcher is, unfortunately. So, very sad about that.
It's all the regionals, to me, are interesting in how you handle it. Like, super regional, I think it's pretty straightforward as to how you do it.
Yeah.
The regional is interesting. Like, is he throwing Holton today, or are you saving?
And right,
that would be really interesting to see.
Yeah, so he did say it's Holton or McIlvain is the choice, and you know, the thing with that is, so I think it was last year, but at one point he said, I used to think like that, like, ah, okay, but then the next game's bigger. He's like, I have learned, like, you have to say, what can we do to win the first game? If you don't do that, if you're trying to think ahead to the next game, you're screwed. So that's why I think it's going to be Holton today. I mean, he hasn't allowed a run in 24 innings,
yeah.
And that's against SEC teams. That's awfully good. So I think it will be him, but he is a freshman. McIlvain's a veteran. But, you know, you got to win this game, and then you presumably get a matchup with Oregon State. Now, are they going to hold their ace for you? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. But I think you have to – you just got to win this game. You do that, and it could be a very interesting weekend. I'm not going to be surprised at all if Vanderbilt gets out of this weekend.
Coming next, could it be a bad thing that Tennessee is the number one overall seed heading into postseason play? We'll get into that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.